Hey, and welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am not Ted Kluck. I am Barnabas Piper, here with my co-host Ronnie Martin to do a special episode on, as Ted called it, The Return of the Jedi, the recent Star Wars release, which, what's the actual title? Is it The Last Jedi, The Final Jedi, No More Jedis?
I don't think it really matters,
something,
to be honest.
Something about Jedi.
Something about Jedis.
And Ted politely declined to participate in this because he said, and I quote, "I don't care about space. I'm an Earth guy." So
yeah, he's an Earth guy, so he doesn't want to talk about space movies.
When we discuss movies that happen on this terrestrial planet ball, we can include Ted. Otherwise, we're on our own. But
because, Pipe, when I think about Ted, I think of an Earth guy.
Yeah, he's an Earth guy.
The first thing that pops into my head is, oh, look, there's an Earth guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's so earthy. I think that might be something different, but. So this movie has engendered some significant debates. Our former host, co-host Stephen El Trogi he wrote something about why he thought it was terrible. I think, I've seen other things, but I think Mike Cosper maybe shared a tweet thread about why it was not terrible. So lengthy things being written on both sides of this. I feel like you probably have some strong opinions. I know you're a fan of the series of movies. And I have some thoughts. They're probably less strong than yours maybe or others.
Probably not.
Well, here's the thing. Star Wars is something that I enjoy. I've always enjoyed, with the exception of the prequels. Those didn't exist. I refuse to acknowledge their existence. They all sucked. But
that's more serious than I am. The prequels are fine.
Okay. The original three, which I guess are 4, 5, and 6, classics, undeniably classics. We can, you know, and then the ones that have come out in the last, 3, 4 years. So Force Awakens, Phantom Menace? Was that the name?
No. Rogue One.
Rogue One. Phantom Menace was something else. And then The Last Jedi. I enjoyed all of them to a degree. So I have some opinions. First, what was your general impression of the most recent one?
Yeah, so I mean, I got to set it up a little bit. Like, what I don't like, you know, again, and when I say don't like, I'm referring to Trogs and his like super exaggerated opinions about any of these things.
Trogs doesn't have, you know, level-headed, calm, balanced opinions. Stunned.
That's what I'm trying to say. I know it's stunning when we're talking about Trogs, but it's just that. It's just, you know, the whole thing, why Last Jedi is the worst movie ever made, and using all this hyperbole, right, about things of that nature.
No, the prequels were among the worst movies I've seen that I can recall. But that also might just have had to do with the expectations. This was not one of the worst.
Well, okay, so let's back up a little bit before we get into The Return of the Jedi, which is simply that I was having a convo today with a guy about the exact same thing. Now, I was around – I was a young kid, but I was around when the first three dropped, right? So again, it came at a particular time in American cinema. It created a genre. It created the blockbuster. They were movies of which you hadn't seen the likes of up until that point. There was all of those kind of first things with those movies. If you were able to go back and watch those first three movies right now, and some people are able to do it because they didn't grow up with it, you look at those movies and you go, they're just kind of these three lousy movies. Like, what's the big deal? Like, they're three lousy sci-fi movies. They're not that great.
And
the
soundtrack's amazing. And Mark Hamill can't act.
Mark Hamill can act. The rest of them can't really act. And the guy that everybody loved is a guy that doesn't have a mouth because he wears a mask the whole time. And so it's like you just kind of go, you know, we only love them because of the time they came out and the nostalgia that they create and blah, blah, blah and all that. And you just go, okay. So then if you take it from that and you get to the prequels, you just have three more kind of not that great space movies. And granted, if you put them next to the first three, of which you have this high level of nostalgia for, sure, they're not going to add up, to which I would say I don't think anything he could have done was going to, you know, add up to the level of hype and nostalgia that we have created when we look at the first three movies. Now, again, I know nobody likes Jar Jar and blah, blah, blah. All that's horrible. I agree. I'm with you. But at the same time, they're just kind of lousy.
And Hayden Christensen is among the worst actors I've ever seen.
I mean, unless you mention Mark Hamill, You know what I mean? Touché. And then it's like, I mean, well, I'm just saying, like, it's all right there, right? And then, okay, so then we get to these new ones that, again, it's been another 10 years, and now we got people that have grown up with the movies that are directing the movies, so they know the right things to put in, the right things not to put in. And it's like, you know what? I think they're all fine. I mean, they're all fine. Last Jedi, it was – I thought it was fine. I mean, it was like there was a little bit of a love story element to it for me. There was some mystery, like, oh, man, which way is he going, this way or is he going to go this way? So there's some mystery. There's some spaceship crashes. There's some lightsaber, you know, sword battles. And it's like, dude, it had everything that you might want out of the universe that's been created. I really, like, I don't understand the hate. You know, I mean, I really don't. I thought it was a fine movie.
See, I feel like the various eras of Star Wars have to be taken in their respective eras. So you have the original three, which were what, late 70s, early 80s, something right. like that. Yeah. Well, late 70s, early 80s was a unique period in cinema. There was a lot of sort of over drama. Like there was an acting style that was very – it kind of felt like a stage product on screen in terms of how kind yes. of over emotive people were. Well, that's true in a space drama as well. And they were also revolutionary in their technology and everything like that. Then you have the prequels, which just didn't stack up to the quality of movies that were happening at the time. Not in terms of acting or writing. Like they were trying to do an epic thing, but it didn't feel epic. It just felt bloated. Then you have the most recent three, which for the most part are really quality cinema. And my problem with the most recent one was that it didn't stack up with the previous two. It felt off. And this is not to say it was the worst movie ever. I enjoyed it. I felt like there was one entire plot line they could have just trimmed off completely and the movie would not have suffered at all. If they had cut Finn and the whole casino plot line, like the casino planet plot line, like the movie would not have suffered. It didn't add any drama. It just added time, and it added that Star Wars element of we're in multiple worlds, which it kind of would have lacked otherwise. But it just sort of felt non-Star Wars-y to me. It felt like the main the most interesting characters in that were Rey and Kylo Ren. That plot line, the two of them, they are the two primary characters. Mark Hamill still can't act. And they just like they kind of de-emphasized the best part and overemphasized some wrong parts, and so it just sort of felt like it needed editing. But that doesn't mean it sucked. It just means it wasn't as good as the previous couple.
Yeah, I don't even disagree with that. I mean, I guess I don't have a lot of stake in the Star Wars game, even though I grew up with it and I enjoyed it. I mean, so you're always going to have your preferences. I mean, I actually agree with everything you said. I mean, they could have trimmed but I feel like they could trim stuff off of every movie they've ever made. There's always been those sort of elements to some of those movies. I mean, like if you were to have talked to my dad after Empire Strikes Back came out, again, given his generation, he hated all the psycho mumbo jumbo of Yoda. If they could have cut out that entire segment with Luke on whatever that Dagobah system thing was he was at. My dad would have been like in heaven because he hated all of that, you know. But then you talk to everybody else and they're like, no, that's what gave the movie so much depth and so much mystery and, you know. And so it's like everybody's going to have their own opinion about like what should be cut, what should have been, you know, what they should have maybe, you know, fleshed out a little bit more. You know, so I get that. I think that's fair. I just think the extreme reactions to me are ridiculous. So, I mean, so just preference-wise, I just didn't enjoy Force Awakens that much because to me, I like a little bit of character development. And by the time it gets to the place where, you know, Solo dies, I feel like we had just found out 20 seconds before that Kylo was his son. So there's not a lot of emotion in that for me because there wasn't a lot of development into it. You didn't get any sense of like what their lives look like. So to me, all that stuff didn't have sort of the emotional draw that I wish it would have had. Like I would have loved for that to have been far more tragic to me than it actually came off in sort of the rapid fire way that they did it. But, yeah. Having said that, it was a fine movie. Having said that, I loved Rogue One. To me, that is like – that was an amazing movie for me. I loved every single element to that movie.
I thought Rogue One was the best of the three. I felt like The Force Awakens was – like they hit the gas from second one in that one. Like it just took off. Did. And so it had a really different feel, whereas like this one – you know, even like somebody tweeted at me, they're like, but what about all the space chase scenes? I'm like, you mean where there's these massive ships sort of floating in slow motion for like 2.5 hours? Like the whole thing was a space chase scene that nothing happened in until the very end. And I don't want to get into all the technicalities of like, can one ship ram another at light speed? Because that's nerd fest and that's not what we do here. But it was a little funny to me that they just discovered you could do that after what I think is like centuries in space. And it's never been tried before. So that was funny to me. I guess it felt like they were using all of the dialogue between Rey and Luke Skywalker to try to explain things and like fill in plot holes.
Yeah.
And like they were now telling the backstory of The Force Awakens in this one, but they weren't showing anything really. They were just kind of telling. And so they just like it felt very bogged down. Like,
yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree. And that's been the first hour of the movie, the hits that it's taken was that it was slow.
Yes.
And it was telling rather than showing. I don't disagree with that. I tend to like movies when they slow down a little bit because I just don't care about lightsaber battles. So like when we're getting into drama, I dig all of that. I want to get, but again, was it great drama? Well, it wasn't incredibly great drama. In fact, there wasn't a lot of drama to the drama, but
slowing down with monologues is almost always boring. Slowing down with there are ways for things to be very slow and very interesting. Like, I mean, to completely change genres, like the movie, The King's Speech, for example, from a few years ago, incredibly slow, but incredibly like crisp and dramatic.
Absolutely.
Nothing happens in that movie except that the whole thing is like one tight plot line that plays out in a very tense way. This movie lacked any of that crispness or tension, and that bugged me because it just felt like it just felt sloppy.
Yeah, I get it. I think it goes back to what you said earlier about it. Just they could have cut some of that, or they could have edited down some of it to create more tension. But I really did, man. There was that moment with Kylo Ren where I thought when you didn't know if he might, you know, kind of like, you know, walk away from the dark side. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not reading all the spoiler stuff. So like, there was a moment for me in the theater where I'm like, wait a minute, is like that the direction they're going to go with this? And I thought that was really that created some tension for me. I appreciated that because it was like, wait a minute, like I don't see where they're going to go with this thing. And I thought that was an amazing element.
Yeah,
because,
that was really strong. One of the things that didn't dawn on me until quite a ways after I watched it is that I think I went into it thinking it was sort of the completion of a story, and I didn't realize that this is more like the middle of a story. Like it kind of starts in the middle and then it ended in the middle. Like there wasn't really an ending, and that's
no.
It felt more like an introduction to what's next. We're like, okay, here is the next Jedi, here's the next villain, and they now have it set up for the franchise to continue. If I had known that going in, I think my expectations would have been different, and I wouldn't have been quite as like, well, that was about kind of nothing, and nothing happened.
I actually think that's a great point because I didn't even think about that pipe until you just said that, which was, I think mentally in my head, I was thinking, this is going to complete something, but it really was like the launch pad for whatever they're doing, which it has to be, obviously, because they want this thing to go on forever now. But
when they've got two really strong kind of lead characters to build around, along with a good supporting cast. Like when you've got Rey and you've got Kylo Ren, that's a great good guy bad guy pairing. And then you've got like on the one side you've got what's the pilot guy's name? Dark haired guy, eyebrows.
Poe?
Yes, Dameron Poe, and you've got Finn, and like those are sort of fun characters. And then on the bad guy side, you've got the other general who clearly doesn't like Kylo Ren and kind of thinks he's weak. And so like there's a storyline already written. It's just I didn't know that that's what they were doing. And so I kind of came away going, I feel like nothing nothing was resolved. Didn't really happen.
Right, but I think that sets it up better for later, where you didn't really get that sense of it, in my opinion, in Force Awakens. So one of the things that I like now is that with Last Jedi you have some character development, because at the end of the day, I think Kylo Ren can be a great character, but he still comes off as like kind of a spoiled, rotten bad guy who's like still kind of like a young and kind of a kid and kind of entitled. He comes off like a millennial bad guy to me right now, to where it's like, dude, you kind of got to earn your place in the galaxy. And like you just seem like a guy that's like just mildly angry about everything, but you really – we don't know why you're so mad about everything.
Yeah,
you're just
more pouty
like
than
that.
Anything.
You're pouty, and you know what? You're not incredibly scary.
Right.
So like there's something that something has to emerge with Kylo to where like when she says you're a monster and he said I am, I'm sitting there going, are you though? Like you're not really that big of a monster. You're not like you're not Darth Vader, dude.
Yeah, you're a monster in the same way that like the class brat in third grade is a monster.
Exactly.
Like, oh, what a little monster.
Dude, exactly. So to me, something dark needs to happen to Kylo Ren to where it's like, oh, like he's the scariest guy I've ever seen. And I think they got the right actor for it. I think like you said, like it's a good – I think the elements are there. But man, they have got to develop that dude into something where you go, okay,
and
I'm having nightmares about him.
They
now.
Very subtly called him on it too, because when – what was it? Snoke was like, take that mask off. You look ridiculous.
Yes.
And he's basically like, you're playing at bad guy. Take that thing off.
Well, that kind of reinforced my hope for the fact that Kylo Ren can become as menacing maybe someday as Darth Vader, because it was like something's not working here. And part of it is that goofy mask.
Yeah.
And the fact that they literally called that out like in the episode, I thought, oh, okay. So they get it. This guy is not that menacing right now. He has to develop into that. And I thought that was really cool.
That the future of Star Wars depends on him becoming menacing, because the bad guys in the last three have all been kind of weak. Like Snoke was not nearly as scary as like Emperor Palpatine. He just wasn't. He just was like, he's a big goofy dude who they never explained, like, what is he? He's just gigantic and uses the Force and projects himself in holograms and stuff. And then Kylo Ren is like a wannabe Darth Vader. And so they didn't have great villains. So they need somebody to be like this profoundly evil force against which the good guys are fighting.
And I think like – and so my question to you is like what can they do? Because one of the problems with Star Wars is always that they're trying – this is like – these are popcorn movies. So they have to make it to where it's like scary but not too scary, because they're trying to – you know, from 7 years old to 77 years old, like it has to appeal to that wide of an audience. So like what can they do to Kylo to make him like super menacing, super scary, super dark – but like not alienate a bunch of people and turn it into like R-rated status movie. There's probably no answer to that.
Well, the answer would be something around the death of Princess Leia, because since Carrie Fisher passed away, she can't play that part anymore. So they would have to come up with a plot line that involves him killing her, possibly with some CGI in there to make it happen, where that's like the tipping point, you know, where he kills his mother, but in a Star Wars-y way, not in like a gruesome horror movie way.
Right.
Because then Carrie Fisher is written out and he has turned dark. Like he has done away with all the good that still connected him to his previous life.
Yeah. So to sort of prove his Darth Vader-ness, he has to kill both of his parents.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. Because, they have to solve that problem anyway, right? They have to solve the Carrie Fisher problem.
Yeah.
Because
even though it's technically already solved, but yeah. But on screen, they have to do something
exactly.
with it.
That's what I mean.
Do we care about Han Solo, a whole movie about Han Solo?
Wait, are they doing that?
Yeah, that's the next one. That's the next like Rogue One version that's coming out next year.
Like the young version of him?
It's called Solo. Yeah.
Well, but
it's like the story of Han Solo.
But didn't they already like – we already saw the young Han Solo. Like are they doing it from like when he was a little bitty kid?
I don't know. It's just called Solo, a Star Wars story, kind of like Rogue One was.
I mean, if it, I thought Rogue One was fascinating because it you know, it set up a movie that we had seen decades yes. before. And that was so yeah. cool. And I'm a sucker for backstories and origin stories.
I am too. I love it. I love it. Yeah.
So if I'm just trying to figure out how they could pull it off, because the original Star Wars had a young version of Han Solo. Like, are they going to find a different actor to play an even younger version of him?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, how did Han get to being sort of that outlaw guy that he was when with the first Star Wars?
It's going to be hard to pull it off since Harrison Ford is still alive and looks like a very old dude in real life.
Well, yeah, they already have a different actor. They've already gotten the actor for it. I forget what his name is, but
I mean, it's I'm intrigued because he was clearly the most compelling character in the previous three movies. I mean, him and Darth mm-hmm. Vader, who was not really a character. I mean, who wasn't an actor. He was just a force. I mean, he was the most interesting person in the original three. So,
yeah,
I'm down with it. Hey. I'll definitely give it a shot. I'm a sucker for anything until they prove themselves to just be bad at it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll always buy a ticket. There's no doubt about it. Here's my last question: How many Last Jedi, the Redemption of the Last Jedi articles have been written in Reformdom since Last Jedi has dropped?
Ooh, I saw one just today at the Desiring God website that was something like Star Wars is fun, but it doesn't always portray a biblical worldview. And I was like, what?
Doesn't always? You mean how about?
It's like yes and.
I mean, are we expecting it to portray a biblical world?
No, I mean, I feel like it's both the most predictable article to be written, and like you just want to, I just kind of throw my arms out to the side and be like, what? Of course. What?
That's funny. I didn't think DG did articles like that, man. I didn't think they did all the.
Well,
like,
this is what happens when they try to get into pop culture. It's like they just Jesus juke the mess out of it. Instead of engaging it as culture, they're like not quite Christian enough. And I'm like, well, you're grading things on the wrong curve. Like, this is a pagan movie by pagan people with a worldview that's more New Agey than Christian. And yes, there have been some redemptive elements and things, but like that's just the nature of a good story. So right. You have to – like they just – not their strong suit. They'd do better sticking to like exposition and family matters.
That's kind of what I mean, when I think of DG, I think of like, yes, like that's what it is. Like I think of TGC going into some of those spaces, but I don't ever think of DG going into those spaces.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see Joe Carter's 47 point takedown of the film's worldview. And by love to see it, I mean, I would love to know that it existed. I don't really have any interest in reading it. But
we just don't have time, Pipe. You're like the rest of us. We don't have that kind of time. So,
I did see, I believe that you managed to preach a sermon after it came out without making any reference to it. No analogies from it, no examples from it. I feel like you deserve a round of applause for that.
Oh, baby, I appreciate that. Yeah, I've not made one. I don't think I've made one, even an allusion to Last Jedi in the last 3 weeks since it's come out, you know?
That's good. I mean, you got to stick to your guns.
I'm trying.
It's not in the text, Ronnie. You can't preach about it.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I mean, it's tempting, right? It's tempting. You know, there's so many places I can go, right? When I'm preaching Luke 2, there's so many things I can grab from The Last Jedi to do my Christmas message.
I mean, doesn't it say Emperor right in Luke 2? I feel like there's a place you could go with that.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I guess I blew it.
The Emperor is kind of like the supreme leader, Ronnie.
Pipe, I'm just not being relatable enough. I'm not being relatable enough to the congregation. I'm really not – I'm not dealing with them with where they're at, which is just spending 3 hours at a time watching Last Jedi. And what about that? What about dudes that have seen it like 3 and 4 times? It's like, dude, that is so much time to invest into
and
a
money.
Movie. That's phenomenal to me.
I mean that's like $35, $40. Because
but, dude, even the time – that was a 3-hour production, man.
Yes, it was. I was there for it.
Yes.
Okay. I have a couple more sermon illustrations that you could think of. You could have thought about working in. So, you know, like,
all right.
So
it's not too late.
No,
it's
I mean, so, the, one of the major themes of Scripture, especially around the birth of Christ. You look at the you look at Matthew 1 and Luke 2. You see how God uses lowly and unlikely people. Isn't that the story of Ray? Didn't we learn that in this movie, that her parents were nothing? They were just like sand trash collectors who just abandoned
just
her.
Just keep talking, Pipe. I'm typing all this in.
I mean, this is it's like isn't that a theme of Scripture? How somebody can rise from nothing to be used for good, by God. I mean, those are like the same. Those are the same storyline. Let's see, what else do we have? We have, you know, the whole thing of Finn trying to sacrifice himself, but he was trying to do it out of hate rather than out of love, or out of care for people. And then you've got the Lieutenant What's-Her-Face who crashes the ship and commits suicide to save everybody. Like, that was sacrifice.
Wow.
The other one was self-destruction.
Yeah, Laura Dern. She was like the type of Christ, right?
So, I mean, I'm sure we can – I could probably keep rolling if you want, but I'll just leave you with those for now.
I mean, I feel like I'm good. I feel like you just gave me 5 sermons, Pipe. I don't know what to do.
I hope I ruined the movie for somebody with those. That's my hope. I hope that I sucked the fun out of it, because that's what happens when people use this stuff for sermon illustrations.
I mean, do we need to tell everybody that there's some spoiler alerts in this podcast? If there's like 2 or 3 people left in the world that haven't seen it yet.
Is it too late to say spoiler alert?
I mean, I don't know.
Spoiler alert. There, we did it.
Spoiler alert, we're talking about the Return of the Jedi.
well, too bad the earthy guy couldn't be with us for this riveting conversation.
Oh, the earth guy, yeah. Ted Kluck, the earth guy. Going to refer to him as that from now on, the earth guy.
That was such a great line by him. I'm not really into space. I'm more of an earth guy.
I know. I wish our audience could have heard him say it the way he said it, too. Yeah. It would have been great.
Just imagine it in Ted's voice and very dismissive tone of voice.
Yeah, very almost like, I can't even finish this line. I'm so bored even talking about it up to this point. Yeah.
Well, I don't think this episode deserves a Rachel the Held Evans. So instead, listeners, join us for our regular episodes and you'll get the Rachel the Held Evans there. Thanks for tuning in.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Finding uplifting news in today's headlines is often like searching for a needle in a haystack. At the Story Behind Podcast, we believe in the power of finding heartwarming tales and are happy to share empowering stories with you every week. Get inspired by the note a waitress received from a patron dining alone. And even hear about how one VIP passenger made a hardworking pilot get emotional before his flight. To start listening to the Story Behind Podcast, visit lifeaudio.com.